I've got the privilege to introduce to you a real good friend of mine. Her name is Ann Kanzemius. I got to work with her at Hope Baptist Church in Fort Worth, where she was a home fellowship leader for 2 years. And it was a lot of fun to work with Ann. She's a real creative person, a real go-getter kind of person. Ann is a graduate of Iowa State University. How many of you ever heard of that? And she has a degree in psychology from Iowa State. She's currently working at Woodlawn Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and she's helping them begin home fellowships there in Jacksonville, Florida, and that's exciting. And she's also, at the same time, working on her degree at Southwestern Seminary, and she's 1 year short of having her master's in divinity at Southwestern Seminary. And Ann's going to talk to us now, so come on forward, Ann.
How many of y'all think you'd deal with fear if you had to speak in front of a group? Come on, y'all would. Well, I did too. So what I did is I brought 9 friends with me. Well, some of them are friends. So, and they're going to help me explain my life, how I became a Christian, and just how God has worked in my life in the last 5 years. As John said, I'm from Iowa, and I was brought up in a family where my parents every night would gather the 4 of us children together, and we'd pray on our knees, and we'd read our Bible, and they brought us to church every week. And they're real devout Catholics, and I mean, they taught us to believe in God, believe in Jesus, and believe in the Bible. But from a very young age, there was real verbal and physical strife and arguing in my household. And I became very hateful and bitter towards my mom and dad. And it got to the point where I just closed my heart off to my parents. And when I was in high school, they would eat dinner, and I would wait till they were done, and then I would go upstairs and eat with them. And there were times I'd just leave home and not tell them. And the first person I want to introduce to you that really exemplifies my life is Miss Betty Bitter here. Now, she's pretty ugly, but that's because the sin of bitterness is really ugly. And it really captivated my life through up until I committed my life to Christ. When I got in high school, no one would have ever known what I was dealing with at home. And, I mean, I was a cheerleader, I was athletic, I dated, and in the midst of my bitterness and hatred at home, I was elected sweetheart queen at school. But, see, no one knew the hatred that I had in my heart towards my parents, and yet I was very aware of it. And even, cried over, because I knew it was like I couldn't control that hatred. But the pressures of high school were more weighed against my parents' morality. And my parents brought me out to be a devout Catholic, to have good morals, to do what's right, and to not do what's wrong. And I knew that. But I also had needs to be accepted. And in high school, I made a decision that I was going to do what everyone else did so I could have friends and so that I could have some of those needs met. And Ruby Rebellion. Yeah. Now, she was. I really wasn't like that. But I was rebellious. Whatever was in, even if it was sin, I did it. And it didn't matter what anybody thought. I didn't care anymore. As I got to college, though, I was very aware of needs that I had in my life to be loved and to be accepted and to feel special, to feel important. And I was searching. I thought, well, if I dated this guy, then my needs would be met. Or if I got some new clothes, or if I got a good job, or if only I could get my degree in such and such. But see, every time one of those were met, I was still discontent. And so what I did is I just shoved those under the rug. I thought, well, forget it. I am not going to face up to what I am needing. And I became Swingin' Sally. Now, a guy that just became a Christian drew these pictures, and I had to kind of lengthen the shorts and everything. What I did is I thought, well, if I just party, that will blind out everything that I'm dealing with. And for a while, it did. And the first 2 years of my college were spent doing that. But what happened is a friend that I partied with called me up one day in my sophomore year, and she said, "Ann, I just wanted to let you know that I'm a born-again Christian now, and I just want to do what Jesus wants me to do." I was like, well, that's really good, Cindy. And hung up the phone. I said, you guys, then you turn into a Jesus freak. But she continued to call me for the next 9 months. And she'd share with me verses out of the Bible that she'd get. And she'd tell me how she'd sinned against someone and had to go back and ask for forgiveness. She sent me roses with 1 Corinthians 13 on the card. And she had a joy and a vibrancy that I knew that I didn't have. I mean, she loved going to church. I was bored to tears when I went to church. And I thought I was a Christian. I really did. I was reading my Bible. I was praying. I was in church every week without any accountability from my parents. But yet I knew that she had something that I didn't have. And that's when curious Claudia, entered the picture. And I really began questioning. I remember one time I was dancing at a party, and I just stopped in the middle of the dance floor, and it's like I yelled in my mind, I need God. And I knew I needed God, but I just didn't know how to get him in my life. And I was really afraid of just the pressure from my friends, because I knew they wouldn't get into God. So I waited the day that school got out, and I called Cindy up. And I said, Cindy, I need to know how to get God in my life. And we got together that night, and that's when she shared with me about the difference between having an intellectual belief and having a heart commitment. And like it says in 1 John 5, 11-12, he who has the Son has the life, and who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Well, see, I knew a lot about Jesus, but I didn't have Jesus. And it was at that point that I was really willing to follow and obey Jesus no matter what. And he saved me. And I really praise God that I can present Born Again Bertha. And see, I was like any other baby. I was hungry and I was needy. Can y'all see? And I began to grow that summer. This is right before my junior year of college. And I remember that summer I kept telling Cindy, well, I think I'm going to go back to drinking when I go back to school. I just don't think I can hang in there. And so she had me talk to what ended up being the associate BSU director. I didn't even know what BSU stood for. But I got together with a woman named Lena. And I told her, oh, Lena, you know, I just don't think that I can do it when I go back to school. All my friends drink and party. And I just, the fear, I just don't think I can handle. And she said, you know, Ann, your problem isn't whether you're going to drink or not. That's not it. Or whether your friends are going to reject you. She goes, the question is, are you really going to let Jesus be boss of your life in this area? And I remember, what is she talking about? I mean, it irritated me that she was so out front with me. But she was right. And I went home, and I made a commitment that I would not get drunk that school year. And I went back to school, and the first year, the first night back, it's like party night for all the students. I'm sure you all know that. All the fraternities and sororities had parties. And I was the only one on my floor that stayed home. I lived in a dorm floor, and I just stayed home, and I cried. Because I knew that that was going to be the picture of my school year, was that I was going to have to stand alone for Jesus. Now, the person I want to introduce to you next is the person that I remember almost the most because she wanted to control my life, and that's Fearful Frida. The roommate that I had my junior year was the same roommate that I had had the year before, and her name's Meta. I had partied with her my sophomore year, and we were really good friends. Well, when I came back to school, I just figured that she didn't want to hear about what was going on in my life, and I was afraid that she'd reject me. So what I did is I didn't even talk to her. And sincerely, for 2.5 months, if we said hi and goodbye, I'd be surprised. And we lived in one of those little mini shrimpy dorm rooms. But that, the fear just overwhelmed me, and I didn't want to tell her. And I didn't tell a lot of my other friends either. But at the same time, there were two friends that I really trusted, Liz and Ruth. And I began sharing with them, and they both committed their lives to Christ. And we'd get together almost every night, and we'd pray, and none of us were in fellowship. I was still going to the Catholic Church, Liz was still going to the Catholic Church, and Ruth was kind of nowhere. And Cindy was involved at BSU, but we kind of just didn't go, you know. But the three of us would get together and just share and encourage one another, and they started asking me all these questions, you know, like, what does this mean in the Bible, and are we supposed to listen to rock music, And I started, boy, well, I don't know. And God placed them in my life. I mean, I was like a fat fish in a fish tank, you know, just kind of barely moving around for God. And God placed them like piranhas in my life to get me going for Jesus. And so what I did is I went on a conference with the BSU people. And I just knew they were Cindy's friends. I didn't even know it was the BSU. But at this conference, these people would set their alarms to get up early and spend time with God. And they said, praise the Lord and hallelujah. And they knew about, it seemed to me, about 5,000 songs that were I had never even heard of. And I was overwhelmed at their commitment level. And I remember one night, I just got down on my knees. And I just said, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I want to read my Bible, and I want to tell people about you. And I went back to school after that. That was during Christmas. And I talked to my roommate, and I just said, Meta, I have really sinned against you by just closing you off and just giving in to fear. And I just need to let you know that I want to do what God wants me to do, and I've become a Christian. And she started crying. And she said, Ann, why didn't you tell me before? I wanted to know. I knew your life was changing. Why didn't you tell me? And she was like, tell me. Please tell me what's happened, okay? And her positive response motivated me. I thought, this is the person I thought was going to reject me the most. And here she wanted to know. And that is when the time of my life came where I was Zealous Zelda. Now, she has Iowa State colors on and a little BSU T-shirt. And I was. I mean, I just got going in the Lord. And I started leading an evangelistic Bible study on my floor and started going to BSU and having quiet times. And I remember at the same time, God was really convicting me that I need to pray before my meal. And if any of y'all ever live in the dorm, I mean, when you eat lunch, you just don't eat it by yourself. I'd go down to lunch with 15 or 20 girls. And they knew some things were happening in my life. I wasn't partying with them anymore, and they'd find me reading my Bible. But that was about it. And they knew that Liz and Ruth and I got together at night. But we hadn't shared anything, you know. But I began just to, you know, at first I just kind of opened my eyes and pray. And then I'd bow my head real quick and pray. But it's like the Holy Spirit was, Anne, you need to identify with me before your meals. And so I began to do that. And then about a week after I was just bowing my head and thanking God, I bowed my head and I just prayed out loud, God, I pray that you save all my friends. And I opened up my eyes and I looked around and I started laughing. And they started laughing. And, you know, that seems off the wall. But see, these people knew me from the year before. I was really, really good friends with them. And my life was changing. And they knew it was changing. They knew it had something to do with God. And I finally came to the realization that I didn't need to hide that anymore. Because they weren't going to reject me. They may reject Jesus, but they weren't going to reject me. And, I mean, I've been a Christian for 5 years now. I've shared with a lot of people. And I can sincerely say, people have given some pit responses to God, but it's not like they spit in my face. You know, maybe they will somewhere else, but they haven't done that. And I think it was at that time that I really realized that, you know, I can be bold and share about Jesus and just be free to be real. And I didn't need to pretend to be someone else, and that I could just proclaim what God had done in my life. I also, I was praying for two things that year, and I was praying that I'd be able to lead someone to Jesus and that I'd get a Christian date because I hadn't had my first Christian date yet. And so I told the girls on my floor that I was praying for a Christian date, and they were like, a Christian date? And you know, so I started telling them what that meant and that there were some good-looking Christian men. And I did. I mean, God answered that prayer. And this man asked me out, and so I went around the floor and said, you guys, this Christian guy asked me out. It's my first Christian date. And man, the floor wanted to come down and see what he looked like. I mean, no joke, they did. And, you know, and I came home, and they were, like, looking at their clock down the hall, and it was really a big deal. But, see, the thing is that they saw that I was real, and I could genuinely be myself and yet still walk after God. And they saw that I had something different than they had, but I wasn't off the wall. And what I began to do is just share with people, you know, kind of just answered prayers and maybe even a verse or just something that we had done at BSU. And people started coming down to my room. And, you know, they do it privately because they didn't want any of their friends to know. But they, you know, and I want to understand what's going on. Would you tell me? So I began to be able to share with, I mean, like, there was one day where six girls came in one day. just wanting to know what had happened. And then one of the girls that was probably the lead partier, I mean, just she was real prideful and mouthy and would verbally, I mean, she'd come past my room and go, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah." You know, just really persecuted me, and it crushed me. You know, it's funny now, but it wasn't then. But what I started to do is I thought, well, if I let this bug me, I am just not even going to talk to this girl. I'm just going to ignore. So I just decided that I was going to, you know, play back with her. And so, you know, she'd say, "Ann, you're just off the wall. I mean, you're just crazy thinking all this Jesus stuff." And I'd say, "Well, Jan, maybe you just need to think about your life. You might need Jesus too." And I began praying that God would give me a non-Christian roommate that would become a Christian. And my senior year, there were two people that did not have roommates. And it was that girl and me. And God put us together. And within a month, she had committed her life to Christ. And you can imagine, I mean, her life was the witness of the whole floor. Because, see, everyone knew that she was, you know, Miss Party Hardy. But her life began to change. She began sharing with people. During my senior year, Lena just approached me and asked me to pray about full-time ministry and going to seminary. So I began doing that. And through counsel and just seeking God, I really felt that that's where He was leading me. So that was 3 years ago, and I ended up in Fort Worth. And the first girl that I met, her name was Betsy. And after a week of spending time together, she said things like, "Ann, why do you want to tell people about God so much? And what's a quiet time? Why do you memorize verses out of the Bible?" And I was shocked because I just had not been around people that would confess Christianity but not even know like what a quiet time was. And the next person that I want to introduce you to is Bern Bernice. And that's really what I was like, because I wept over Betsy's life, and I begged God that He change her. And it was a time in my life that I just asked God, "How can You use me? God, I don't want people to end up like this. I really want to be used by You to tell their people about You and then help them grow." And it was during that first year at seminary that I really got a deepened conviction that it wasn't just going to be at BSU that I was going to tell people about Jesus, but that for the rest of my life, I was going to commit myself to tell people about Him and raise them up so they could be workers. And that was going to be my life purpose. And during the last couple years, I've spent time just getting equipped, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life getting equipped, it seems like. But there's one person that I desire to be like for the rest of my life, and that's Lena Lerner. Now, Lena here is learning from books, and we can learn from books. But I really believe that the way that I'm going to learn and that y'all are going to learn is through people. And just watching people, they have a lot more things together than we do, even if it's in one area, and trying to learn from their life. And just applying some practical truths so that you can pass those on. And, you know, in 2 Corinthians 4:1 in the Living Bible, it says, "It is God Himself in His mercy who has given us this wonderful work of telling others His good news, and so we never give up." And I really desire that for the rest of my life, I would tell other people His good news. And even if that's work, that's what I want to do. You know, when the guy that drew these is a guy that down in Jacksonville just committed his life to Christ about 3 weeks ago, and he's an artist. And at first, I was really embarrassed. You know, I kind of told him what I won, and I was embarrassed. I thought, I don't want these people to think I was off the wall. And it's like the Holy Spirit really encouraged me. And, you know, you guys are going to be reaching out to people that may be like Swing and Sally, or that may be bitter or may persecute you. And yet I'm convinced, I mean, God can change anyone's life because He changed mine. And He's not limited to, a person seems kind of open to me, because He can open their heart. And, you know, in Romans 10:11 it says, "For the Scripture says, he who believes in Him will not be disappointed." And I can sincerely say that for the last 5 years, and I believe for the rest of my life, I will not be disappointed to let Jesus be my boss. And I appreciate y'all letting me shares. I really do love sharing about how Jesus has been faithful to me.